Thanks to Calm, the number one mental wellness app, for supporting the Productivity Show. Reduce stress and anxiety through guided meditations, improve focus with curated music tracks, and rest and recharge with Calm's imaginative sleep stories for all ages. Calm is offering you 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/TPS.
Welcome to the Productivity Show, a podcast where we believe you can get the important things done without having to sacrifice your health, family, and things that matter to you. This is the last episode of 2022. Now, it's kind of sad, but all good things come to an end. But 2023 is right around the corner. So before we dive deeper into the new year, one thing we always like to do is kind of look back at 2022 and share tips to help you reflect on the year, but also kind of get you ready for the next year as well. So if it's your first time listening, welcome. Thank you for tuning in today. And I want to give you a quick background on the two of us here. My name is Tam Pham. I'm the founder and CEO of Asian Efficiency, where we help people become more productive at work and in life. And today, I'm joined by my co-host, Brooks Duncan, who is the COO of Asian Efficiency. Now, we both came to productivity from completely different directions. I started AE back in 2011 as a passion project to share what I was learning about productivity, time management, and goal setting. And it accidentally turned into a business where we are now one of the top productivity companies in the world.
Yeah, and I have a varied background. I've worked in large corporates, startups, government, and my path to productivity was I was working in a large corporate. I was a director and I had a number of reports. I also had two small children, and that is basically what led me to realizing that something needed to be done. So I got really into productivity then. And through a long roundabout story, which maybe we can talk about someday, I ended up becoming on the Productivity Show. And really, we started this podcast because we wanted to help people become more productive at work and in life. And something Tan says all the time, which is happy people are productive people. And so every week we share tips and strategies to help you win back time, have more energy, and get focused on what matters. Now, sometimes we have guests, and maybe you've noticed that over the last couple of months, we've had a bit more guests than normal. For those who have been long-term listeners, we decided we'd try something new. Sometimes, like this episode, it's just the two of us. But either way, we always want to give you actionable productivity tips and insights. And we really love getting reviews and feedback from our listeners. So, for example, John wrote in and said, I love it when the podcast dives into new books or ideas from an amazing person in the field. And yeah, thanks so much for sharing that, John. We have really enjoyed the guests we've had lately, and it's been fun to explore some new books that otherwise we might not have come across. So that's been really fun. And if you want to get in touch, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, or you can email us at podcasts@asianefficiency.com. So like Tan said, today is the last episode of 2022. So these are three things you're going to get out of this episode. Number one, how to do an evaluation of the past year, and more importantly, take those lessons into the next year. That's the first thing. Number two, how to set New Year's resolutions the right way. We're going to be talking about resolutions. And number three, of course, more important than setting those resolutions is how to keep your New Year's resolutions. And before we get into that, we are going to do what we do at the start of every single episode, which is our top three resources. These are three things that we've been loving lately that have been making us more productive. Number one is a journaling app called Day One, and it's available for Android, iOS, and Mac. I used that years ago, and I've been getting back into it lately, and I've been really enjoying that. Number two is an app launcher called Raycast. Unfortunately, this is just for the Mac, so it doesn't really work for Windows users, but it's like Alfred and those types of things. It's just a different approach to that. I've been playing around with that lately. And number three is a book called The Tools by Phil Stutz, and it gives you mental tools to live happier. And Phil Stutz is a therapist, so it's interesting to check out that. You can find links to everything we share in the show notes by going to theproductivityshow.com. or swiping in your podcast app, and you'll see the links all there. All right, Tan, if you're ready to get into it, we're going to be setting New Year's resolutions for 2023. I'm really excited about this. We do a variation of this episode every year, but we're going to take a little bit of a different approach this year. And so I'm just going to kick off step number one, which is to look back at last year. And that might sound really funny because New Year's resolutions are, by their nature, forward-looking, right? We are looking forward to what we're going to do in the new year. But in this step, we want to talk about looking backwards. But I have a question for you, Tan. what do you think the value is of being intentional and looking backwards? Because I used to be super addicted to all those blog posts where people would talk about their annual review process and all that sort of stuff. People would have these big review planning frameworks, but I noticed a lot of times they were always looking forward and never looking backwards. So do all these people know something we don't, or do you think there's actually value in looking backwards first?
There's absolutely a lot of value into looking backwards first before you start looking forward. And the way I came up with this was, I remember maybe over 15 years ago, I started learning how to play this board game called Go. It's a really popular board game. It's very popular in Japan, especially where I believe it originated from. And kind of like checkers, but like a little bit more complex. And so there are major communities online where you can learn how to play this game. And after you finish playing a game, you oftentimes review the game together with the other player, where you're coaching each other to kind of show like what I did, what you did, and why you did certain things. So you can learn after every single game. And it's kind of built in the community. At one point, I had a mentor that I kind of learned through the community who would coach me every time I played against him. And he would show me the ropes. And he noticed that I was making the same mistakes every single time I was playing him. And after a few times, he started to point out, like every time we reviewed the game, after we were done, he would say, "Hey, Tam, I noticed you always do this particular move at this particular intersection. And this is actually not the right thing to do. And that's why you keep losing the game." And that's when things kind of clicked for me. And I went, oh, wow, like I wasn't even aware that I was making this mistake all the time. And once he pointed it out, it made me go, oh, okay. Every time I was in that particular situation, instead of doing the move that I would normally do, I would now do the improved move so I could actually make progress on winning the game. Now, this idea also applies to setting New Year's resolution and trying to have a productive and successful year. So if you think about it, think of your new year as like a game. Like you're trying to go into the new year with a game plan so that you know how to win it. Just like you wouldn't enter a board game without a strategy, you wouldn't enter a new year without a strategy either. And so if you go in the new year with no idea what you're going to do and how you're going to do it, you tend to default to the way you've always done things, which is the habits, the skills, the things you already know. And oftentimes you have blind spots where you don't know what you don't know. But also you tend to make the same mistakes like I did learning how to play Go. You tend to apply those things the way you do things at work as well. So if you're entering the new year making the same mistakes you did last year and the year before, you're never really making real progress. And that's why it's so important to look back and learn from your past mistakes, take lessons from them, and then move on to the new year.
Yeah, so some ways that you can look back. One of them is to use a journal. If you're somebody who does a journal, you're going to be way ahead. I know most people aren't going to have a journal, and that's totally fine. So if you don't have a journal, one thing you can do is just look back at your calendar. Just skim your calendar for the past year. Not that you have to sit there and go in depth on every single calendar entry, but really what you're doing is you're skimming. And what's going to happen is when you look back at your journal or your calendar, you're going to have things trigger. You're going to be like, oh, I didn't do this well, or oh, this worked really well. And you're going to have these things that just have your memory triggered. And then you can ask yourself questions like, hey, what went really well? What didn't go so well? What do I want to do more of? What do I want to do less of? And these are the things that will help you trigger. And then you can move that forward. I know for myself, when I looked back at a previous year, speaking of the journal, I noticed that I didn't journal. I stopped partway through the year, and I realized that a lot of issues with time management and stuff like that actually came from that, because my journal was like a focusing mechanism for my planning. And so once I restarted that, then it worked really well for me. But because if I hadn't gone back and looked back before looking forward, I might have gone forward with some totally different actions without really having that realization. So yeah, looking backwards, really recommend it, even though it's counterintuitive for planning your year forwards.
Really simple framework that you can use for that, which is you just have to ask yourself three simple questions. What went well? What didn't go so well? And what can you do better next year? And after you've gone through your calendar and asked those questions, you'll start to notice all these opportunities and mistakes that you've made and things you're like, okay, I wish I had done that better. And if you just do those three things into the next year, your year by default is going to be better than the year before, which is something that I think we all try to aim, right? So it's really that simple. It doesn't have to be complicated. I know, like you said, Brooks, there are a lot of complicated frameworks out there and people write 5-page essays about how they've done an annual review, but it doesn't have to be.
All right. So that is step number one, looking back and reflecting at the year that just happened. But now we are going to move forward. That's what this is all about. And we're going to do step number two, which is to actually set your New Year's resolution. So we're going to get into the actual setting. And here's the secret, though, to setting New Year's resolutions. And we've actually shied away from talking about New Year's resolutions sometimes in the past. I was looking through some old Google Docs we had and the show notes for an old episode. I think it was like episode 72 or something like that. The Google Doc was called New Year's Resolutions Suck. And really the reason for that is a lot of times setting New Year's resolutions, honestly, for a lot of us, just doesn't work. They're usually really aspirational. They're often not realistic for our life circumstances. Often they're just based on what someone else is doing. We might Google how to set New Year's resolutions or New Year's resolutions. We'll see things and we're like, oh, I want to do that. So they're often based on what someone else is doing, not what works for you. A lot of times the time frame is just too long. We're trying to figure out something we want to do for a whole year. And therefore, it's just too ambiguous. Like a few times I had this New Year's resolution that I would attend these local networking events. And I'd even be specific, right? My New Year's resolutions, I was like, in the first 90 days, I'm going to attend 3 local networking events. And that was my New Year's resolution. And I thought that's what you're supposed to do, right? That's what everybody recommends, especially if you own a business. But the problem is, I basically hate going to local networking events, or at least the ones that are defined as networking events. So I just kept putting it off. And every year I kept having to say I didn't do it. And then instead I realized, wait a second, this is what works for other people. It's not really something for me. Why don't I do something else? And what I found more helpful, honestly, and I'm curious if you're the same, Tan, is I found that using the T framework, which we've talked about on the podcast a lot, has really helped in the last few years to focus at the start of the year. So it's not really a New Year's resolution. It's more of having a focus. So T stands for time, energy, and attention. And last year, my focus was on attention, mainly for outside of work hours. I am generally pretty good focus-wise during the quote-unquote workday, but it was kind of like the evenings that I'd find myself wasting away. Do you have anxious thoughts, or maybe you're restless at night, or do you just not feel like your best self? Well, making sure that we feel our best should be a top priority. It's honestly a productivity cheat code. And by spending a few minutes with Calm each day, you can be sure you're taking the necessary time to prioritize yourself. That's why I'm super excited to partner again with one of my very favorite apps, Calm, the number one mental wellness app, to give you the tools that improve the way you feel. I use it every single day. I have for years and years and years. And if you go to calm.com/TPS, you'll get a special offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription, and new content is added every week. Calm helps you stress less, sleep more, and live a happier, healthier life. There are guided meditations, sleep stories, relaxing music tracks, and daily movement sessions are all designed to give you the tools to improve the way you feel. Over 100 million people around the world use Calm, and even if you've never meditated before, that's no problem at all. You'll get the support you need to reduce stress, improve focus, and uplift your mood. I use Calm mainly in two ways. Number one, almost every morning I do the Daily Calm, which is a 10-minute guided meditation. I like the variety and I find it a great way to start my day. The other way I use it is their sleep stories. Now, I don't do this every night, but at night, if my mind is restless or maybe I have trouble sleeping or am I in a different environment, like I'm traveling or something, I put on a sleep story and bam, I am out. I usually like the ones involving travel in some way. For some reason, that's just what I like. And there's a great 6-part one about the Pacific Crest Trail that I like a lot. For listeners on the show, Calm is offering an exclusive offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/TPS. Go to calm.com/TPS for 40% off an unlimited access to Calm's entire library. So last year, my focus was really on attention, and that has worked out really well. But now in 2023, I'm going to focus on time and structuring what I'm going to work on when. So that is what's really worked for me, is using the T framework as a focus mechanism. And we have an article all about the T framework, theproductivityshow.com/T. But how about you, Tan? Have you found the T framework helpful? I know it's helpful in general, but do you find it helpful for doing it on a New Year's resolutions basis?
Like you mentioned, New Year's resolutions don't typically work and they're not that effective, but themes are much simpler and much more effective based on my experience. So It's the idea that you focus on one particular area. And I find that if you take the productivity lens to it and say, how can you apply the T framework, time, energy, and attention to the new year, and you focus on one particular area, you tend to make a lot more stride and progress when you just focus on one particular thing. So maybe for you, it's focusing on time this year, or it's focusing on having more energy, or focusing on the right thing, which is attention. For me, 2022 was all about energy. I just want to have more energy, so I focus heavily on my sleep. And I would say 2022 is probably the best year in terms of my sleep quality. Now, going into 2023, now that I've kind of sorted out time and energy, I really want to focus on attention for 2023. And I know that going into this new year, what I want to focus on is how can we grow Asian efficiency much bigger than what it is right now? And so when I know that that's my main focus and that's where I'm trying to make decisions around what I'm going to do today, this week, this month, next quarter, this whole year, it makes it really easy for me to simplify and say, okay, if 2023 is all about attention and I want to grow Asian efficiency, then let's just make sure that everything that I do is aligned with that idea. So as you notice, there is no end goal. There's no finish line in this case, like typical goal setting. The idea here behind the theme is how can we make sure that we focus on one particular area instead of trying to do so many different things that maybe are in different departments? Rather, let's just focus our attention in one particular direction, and anything that aligns with that will help us move forward.
By the way, if you find the concept of the time, energy, and attention buckets too broad, which I totally understand, we've actually broken it down even further into what we call our 25X productivity system, which are the 25 steps to master productivity. And actually, this episode is coming out at a good time because at the beginning of January, we're actually going to be doing another live cohort course. This is something we've done a couple times where we get together online. It's an online thing. And we basically take you through the 80-20 of the 25X system. So we don't go through all 25 steps. That would be a very long course. This is a little bit more focused effort. But yeah, if you want to check out more about that, go to theproductivityshow.com/25X. I really enjoy doing these courses. I know you do as well, Tan. If you're listening to this, head on over and check it out. It's really good time and we get lots of good feedback about it. But going back to the New Year's resolution thing, really having an overriding focus for the year can be really helpful. It doesn't mean that it's the only thing you do, but it can just give you a lens to get started. So that's really helpful. All right, Tan. Question for you. So we've talked about setting those New Year's resolutions or your themes or whatever it is that you want to do. The year starts, you get going. So how do you actually keep these things? How do you keep going and keep momentum as you go through the year?
Well, it's actually quite simple. And to illustrate this, I was working with a client a few years ago, and she said to me that she really wanted to focus on her fitness. And so I asked her, okay, if that is your main priority and your main commitments, if I looked at your calendar in the past 6 months and I looked at your credit card statements, would that be a reflection on there? Meaning, if I looked at your calendar, would there be a lot of fitness activities related stuff on there? If I look at your credit card statements, is your spending a reflection of being committed to fitness? And when I asked her that question, she had to think about it and she said, no, actually, it's not a reflection of that whatsoever. And so the big takeaway from this is that ideally, your calendar and your spending is a reflection of what you value. So in her situation, if her main priority and commitment was fitness, what I would have loved to have seen was maybe 3 or 4 workouts per week on her calendar, maybe like 45 minutes to an hour per session. I would love to have seen maybe like a Sunday meal prep day or something like that, where she's preparing meals for the rest of the week. In terms of spending, maybe she would have bought fitness equipment for working out at home. Or if she's traveling, which she was for work, maybe she would pick the hotels where she would stay at that had particularly gym that she could easily go to, right? And that's a reflection in spending in a way as well. Also, I would love to have seen less spending on like going out on vacations and going to really nice dinners and going to a lot of parties. And so going in the opposite direction in that sense and redirecting those funds in either like personal training, fitness equipment, or anything else that just shows that fitness is a main priority for you. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to deprive yourself. It simply means that when you're committed to something, let's just make sure that our time and money is a reflection of that. And so you might be thinking, okay, that sounds good. So if I'm setting a goal or some sort of theme for the year, like how do I make sure it's all reflection on that? And that's where really the main idea comes from, which is ideally, you want to build daily and weekly habits to reflect your New Year's resolutions or intentions or your theme. So for my client, it was fitness. And so I wanted to see that let's make sure we build a schedule that allows you to work out 3 or 4 times a week. That's a direct reflection of your New Year's resolution or theme. Same thing for Sunday. If we want to do a meal prep or focus on diet or nutrition, let's just make sure that Sunday is a day that you set aside for a few hours of cooking, meal prepping, just making sure you're eating healthy for the upcoming week. And then also when it comes to spending, we would look at ways for her to cut back spending on things that were kind of frivolous or not in alignment and redirect those funds into like better groceries or better meals or just healthier meals. And so what I've found is with clients like this, if you work on maybe 3 or 2 keystone habits or major habits, those are oftentimes just needed to drive that major change that you're looking for. And you do those things consistently and you'll eventually end up with the goal that you're looking for.
It's kind of interesting because a lot of this stuff is very similar to any type of goal management. So you were saying you want to make sure that your time, your resources are aligned. And like I said, it's not the only thing that you're going to be doing throughout the year. We know that all of us have a ton of stuff going on, but it's just making sure that whatever your priority is going to be is reflected in what you're doing. There's this interesting task management, for lack of a better word, or prioritization trick called the 30-30 strategy, which is you want to put at least 30 minutes a day for something that's not due 30 days in the future. But I think you could adapt this for things like your New Year's resolution, where you're like, I want to have 30 minutes a day at the very least. If you can't do 30 minutes, then, you know, do what you can. But I want to have at least 30 minutes a day dedicated somewhere in my time for making some sort of progress. It might just be a little bit of progress, but some sort of progress on this thing that's important to me. So it's almost like a 30-minute challenge for whatever your resolution is. Another way that I'm going to do this with my time T focus that I just talked about is I've realized that what I'm going to really have to do is break down some themes for my days. So on Monday, I'm going to work on this. On Tuesday, I'm going to work on that. And I sort of do this already, but in 2023, I'm going to be much more hardcore about that to really manage the different things I have going on since my schedule is going to be changing a little bit. So that's the way I'm going to approach it. But I'm also going to have that 30-minute challenge in there so that every day I'm doing something 30 minutes to take me forward. And we'll see how it goes. But when I've tried to do this sort of thing in the past, it's worked really well. So that's the plan. All right, Tan. So we always like these episodes to be actionable. We've given lots of tips, but if somebody is going to start making their New Year's resolutions and checking it out, what should people do?
As always, we want to make sure that there's one action step that you can take from today, and that is for you to check out 2022, look back at it, and say, what is something that you learned from this past year? And take the lesson forward and apply it to how you can use that into 2023. And if you have that particular lesson and an action plan, what is a habit that you can build out of that? And do that consistently over the next few weeks. And I'm pretty sure you're going to have a new keystone habit that will drive you forward to where you would like to be. So next week, we're going to be talking about productivity news, trends, and opinions, and all the newest things that are happening in our industry. So we want to make sure that you stay up to date on that and stay advanced on what's happening in the space. So be sure to check back next week on Monday. And if you want to check out the show notes, just swipe in the app or go to theproductivityshow.com. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.